Episode 79 of Drunk on Comics. And I just want to let you guys know, I graduated from cool school this week, so I'm officially cooler than all you guys.
No.
If you're cool, that means you can't do a podcast about comic books, nerd.
No, fuck that. We're cool.
But I really did. I got the certificate on my office wall and everything.
I know. Mom was just trying to humor you.
And it's not really an office as much as the playroom, but, you know, whatever. Oh, hey, guys. Welcome to Drunk on Comics. I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
I'm Matt.
And I'm cool still.
I think if you say you're cool, you're no longer cool.
I'm hot.
Or not.
Well, you're not attractive, so.
Your pants are on fire? There's flaming Autobot symbols on his pajama pants, but.
Do you have a burning sensation?
You might want to see a doctor. Yeah. All right, we're drunk on comics.
Yeah, and other things apparently today, too.
I feel like being cool. We're cool.
I feel like I got thinking about this because I watched the live Sound of Music the other night, and I kind of feel like every week we do a Sound of Music.
You actually watched that?
Yeah. Our hills are alive.
with the sounds of comics.
Okay. I'll go for it. Yeah. You know, it's even as a, and I probably shouldn't say this, as a theater professor, I still haven't ever seen the complete story of The Sound of Music.
What?
Whether in video form or on stage. And I'm kind of proud of that. I'm going to keep boycotting it. I'm going to keep keep doing that.
Those Von Tramps.
That was a different.
Oh.
Yeah, those hills are alive with something else.
I think you might have caught it.
Should we get things kicked off with some comic book reviews?
Heck yeah.
All right. Off the Shelf this week, as always, is brought to you by inter-comics.com. Go check them out. They've got lots of cool stuff on there. And you can buy books and read about some books and all fun shit like that. So go check them out. Before we get it kicked off, we should warn people that we might talk about things that happen in the books because we're gonna.
Yeah, like we could spoil maybe important character deaths. Marvel's usually pretty good at
spoiling
the deaths, so you know to buy this new comic because this is when a character died. And yet, segue dun, 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 into Inhumanity number one.
Ooh.
Someone's gonna die, and I'm not gonna tell you. Until another couple minutes from now. So, Inhumanity number one, written by Matt Fraction. Olivier Coipel was the penciler. Inker by Mark Morales and colorist Laura Martin. Plus some extra guest artists for flashbacks throughout. A couple different types of... They have ancient flashbacks and they have flashbacks to the Infinity event. So, I thought that was pretty neat. A lot of artists on this. Inhumanity has been... it's kind of what is one of the big things to be revealed after the Infinity story arc. Black Bolt, the king of the Inhumans, basically told everyone to get out of Adalon, their city, and disperse the Inhumans throughout the world and throughout the universe, apparently. And then he released the Terrigen Mists, and apparently he knew that there were like millions of people with Inhuman DNA on the planet, and he just activated them. By releasing the Terrigen Mists across
the question that I have is, were they the first mutants then? Does this tie in with mutants?
It hasn't tied in with mutants yet, although I know the whole Inhumanity series of stories that they got a list in the back for. Some of them are with the Uncanny X-Men. Because it is kind of weird. The X-Men, you know, mutants have been decimated and very slowly making their numbers back. And the Inhumans were always a really small... population of superpowered individuals.
Are the Inhumans, and forgive me because I never really followed the Inhumans much, are they immortal?
Yeah. Essentially they're kind of ageless. They're not, they can be killed, obviously, but they're pretty ageless because Black Bolt and them have been around for hundreds of years.
There's two different groups that kind of get mixed up. There's the Eternals. They are godlike beings that were created by the Celestials. You at least know what the Celestials are, superpower gods of the Marvel Universe. And their opposites are the Deviants, and that's kind of what Thanos is. He's an Eternal that looks like a Deviant.
It's got a Deviant gene in it.
Yeah. These, however, as Matt was saying, you know, were created by the Kree.
But they were created by the Kree a long time ago. They were. It was interesting because they talked about that they were actually Homo Neanderthal. So they were Neanderthal bloodline that got tampered by the Kree, and then Homo sapien emerged and wiped out the normal Neanderthals, but the Inhumans, because their DNA got changed, they evolved much more quickly, and they became Inhumans. But they're close enough to us that their DNA can mix, and so they have these flashbacks in here of the thousands of years that since the Kree were here, that some of the people were like, I don't want this whole Terrigen Mist things. I don't want these special powers to make us weapons, because that's why that was the Kree's destiny for them, is to make us weapons. So I don't want to be a weapon. And so they left the Inhuman city and kind of dispersed throughout the rest of the planet, which is why, you know, generations of interbreeding with humans, there's all these people that have inert Inhuman DNA, and they didn't even know it.
The X gene,
yeah,
is what I'm saying.
It's essentially kind of what it is. But
technically the X gene is because of nuclear bombs and all that shit.
I don't know, though, because...
they're the children of the atom.
No, yeah. but the first ever mutant Apocalypse way back in, you know, the King Tut's time, there was no nuclear bombs then.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. What I'm wondering, though... Because don't they always say that Namor was the first mutant?
They say he was the first mutant that they drew or written. So it's kind of like the first like comic book. So when you're saying that, you're saying it as a comic book character, as he was the first mutant ever drawn. But when you actually go in the time, if you lived in that world,
I do live in that world. Yeah.
We live in it every week.
Yeah, because we're cool.
Yeah. So anyways, back to Inhumanity. So it's about the Inhumans, and one of my favorite Inhumans is Karnak. His power that he got from being exposed to Terrigen Mist is he can expose the weakness in anything. Plans, people, like he just can totally see the flaws. And so he starts off with him trying to be like, why would this happen? You know, why did all these bad things happen? He's trying to figure out what the flaws are in it. And at the very end, he kind of has this epiphany moment. And in doing so, he realizes that he foreshadows a bunch of really bad stuff, and he figures out that it was Black Bolt who did this on purpose. And then he goes, oh no, I see what's going to happen next. Queen Medusa, forget everything that I was telling you. Really, just try not to remember any of this. I'm screwed because I can't forget this. And so he jumps out of a building and kills himself.
Well, not only that, the way he does it, it was, what, Hulk impenetrable glass. Yeah. And because his power is finding the weakness in everything, he just starts drawing on it with his finger.
It's great. Black Panther goes, does it concern anyone that he's drawing on unbreakable Wakandan crystal with his fingernail?
And then, which allows him then to shatter and break. And this is actually, because I love the Inhumans, and Karnak was one of my favorite
people. He was my favorite.
And so...
Now he's like dead. If you want to, a book that Marvel didn't spoil that they're killing off a character, and Karnak dies in this one.
Yeah, but is he really dead?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
He said
he was dead.
Is anybody ever really dead anymore?
I don't know.
One of the best things in this book, though, happens towards the beginning when they come upon Karnak, and the Avengers are fighting him. And while fighting him... They're getting their asses beat. The person who finally puts them down is Hawkeye with an arrow from...
He shoots him with an electric, you know, volt, you know, stun gun arrow.
And this was really my spit take of the week, where I was just fucking dying laughing. He goes, yeah, so this is the first time I didn't get my ass kicked.
And then Captain America on the next page says, hey, Hawkeye, why don't you mark the date and the time that you said that?
Nice. Yeah, I might actually read that just because, like, I didn't even look at it, but I love Coypel's art.
Yeah,
The art was just phenomenal.
Art's good,
too.
And well, like I said, even the flashbacks, they have different artists doing it. But it was a great creative team, great artistic team. It's going to continue. This Inhumanity event's going to continue with a lot of the other books, and it looks like it's being woven into their already existing stories. So it does kind of say, hey, you should pick up some of these extra ones. But fortunately, most of us are already getting those books anyways, so a few of them are in Avengers.
Oh damn, you're gonna have to pick up Avengers titles.
I know. And then there's a couple other ones that Tony will have to pick up, because Or Indestructible Hulk has got one of them. You haven't bought that in a while.
No, I haven't. I enjoyed it. It was just one of those books that I found myself falling behind on. Yeah. And so that's... I didn't drop it for lack of liking it. It just, I didn't like it as much as some of the other books I was reading.
But I think this is a real nice book to set up the that future storyline. And it and is kind of the prelude. You don't get the credits of who wrote it until the very end, which is kind of nice. So this is like the beginning of the story.
Sometimes I like that, but sometimes I hate that because...
Yeah. I hate when you can't find it and it's in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, why the fuck do you do that?
It's like six pages into it. Yeah. No, this one's very clearly, it's like the last page.
Yeah.
And they go, inhumanity.
The reason that I don't like it is, like, occasionally, like, if you have a comic that comes out and they don't list the creative team's names on the cover.
Yeah, this one has them on the cover, yeah, too.
And it's like, oh, I want to see who did this.
Yeah.
And you start... And you can't find it the first couple pages, and then you have to flip to the end. It's that whole, like we talked about last week.
You just spoiled it. Yeah, because you'll totally see a dead body as you see the cover. You'll be like, wait, why is that guy dead?
Yeah, yeah. So that's, I like it. Put it at the fucking beginning.
Yeah. Tony, right. What do you got?
Well, I got a book that is kind of, it's a one-shot, and I've talked about these before because these are probably the best one-shots ever. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles micro series, The Shredder.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. And what I've said before, the reason why these ones are so great is these tie into the continuity stories, but these are all character-driven stories of whoever's on the cover. And
there's no one on the cover here.
Well, I got the blank edition because I might get it drawn in later.
I was going to say you were going to draw it.
Can I draw on it?
No. Don't ruin my comic books.
Can your nephew draw on it?
Yes, he can. And when he's famous, it will be worth millions. Matt, you got to make him famous. Ultimately, this story... Shredder in the main series has pretty much taken over New York through the whole City Fall story arc. And he's
taking over New York as in, like, he's the mayor. He's taking over New York as in, like, all the crime.
He's the kingpin. And throughout this whole series, he's come back to life. They were back in ancient Japan. Like I said, I know I've mentioned this before. The turtles were all brothers back then, and their spirits reincarnated. Well, for him, when he was dead, he knew he was going to be resurrected back in the day. What ends up happening, though, is where he was trapped at, where he was during this thousands of years, whatever it took. And he was in a neither world, something that in a lot of Japanese myths is kind of just a haunting visage of just warriors and people.
So he was training with King Kai and Goku.
Yeah.
Okay.
Derek doesn't get that reference.
That's okay.
I don't have a clue who or what that is.
Well,
it's all right.
Yeah.
See your Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, okay.
I mean your Japanese mythology.
So, ultimately, he's here, and he gets visited by a demon. And the demon had said to him, we know you're just passing through. Just don't disrupt anything, and you're fine. Well, what's he do? He wants to conquer this world. He wants to be the Shredder that he is and ultimately go about... Because if he's going to have to come back here eventually when he dies a second time, he knows he's being resurrected, but eventually he's going to have to come back here. He wants to be running it. So he goes about this ploy of getting people to make a distraction so he can go and fight the king of this netherworld. What ends up happening is they fight. This guy's, you know, big, strong, but he's also slow. And Shredder wins. This is where the whole metaphysical realm of death and everything happens. He kills this guy, pulls off the mask of it, and finds out it's an older version of him. He's already the ruler of this netherworld. And the little goblin demon just said, thank you, you know, you finally did it. You were the one that could finally kill yourself. Which he also said in the beginning, if you mess with anything, you will lose your soul. Explaining that in this world, time doesn't necessarily go linear. You will come back here at some point, older.
Yeah.
Before your younger self comes back to then kill you in this world. And I'm like, mind fucking blown, man. And I just, like, that story just itself was so
the Shredder is going to be his own end. In,
yeah,
in,
and so this was written by Paul Allaire, art by Dan Duncan, colors by Ian Herring, and letters by Sean Lee. The art was just amazing, too. I like the dark tone of this Netherworld. But ultimately, it gets you in the mind of all that Shredder thinks of now, though. He knows what's going to happen. And in the last pages, he kind of says, you know, but they made a mistake by telling me what's going to happen because I'm going to be stronger and faster and harder so that when his adult self is there, the younger self won't be able to kill him. And it's really like a mind-blowing, like, wow.
He's defying fate. I like it.
And just the whole Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they're fucking rocking, so.
Well played.
That is a fucking great story idea.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in my own time loop thinking about it. I've just been sitting here mouth open like I'm Ben Affleck in Daredevil. I'm just going, what?
I can hear you breathing.
Yeah. Oh, that. And then it'd be like, what was Armageddon, you know? I can hear you breathing. All right. Six Gun Gorilla from Boom Studios, number 6. Written by Simon Spurrier, art by Jeff Stokely. I don't even know where to begin. This book literally left me just sitting there at the end of it going, wow.
Is there, like, his favorite guns of the six?
There's only 2 guns.
That's a fucking lying title, then.
It's based on the fact that they're 6 shooters.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this the last issue?
It's the last issue.
So this is a good jumping on point.
Actually, it is. You actually could pick up this one issue, and if you did, I guarantee you'd go back and buy the first 5. The one thing before I forget to say, when this book comes out on trade, I'm actually buying a copy of this because I'm going to be like walking around to my friends that haven't read it and go,
you have to read this.
This is a must buy fucking book.
Derek's going to be in the bar pushing it.
Oh, I will. I'll be like, hey, read this. Buy me a beer. No,
you know what's funny is it's true, though. Last night he was like, Tony, you really need to read this, man. You need to read
this. But did he have a copy for you to read there at the bar?
No. I won't take the floppy copies into the bar unless it's for like a special edition podcast, which we need to do one of those again.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Six Gun Gorilla. I kind of explained it a little bit here month-ish ago, that you have these people that are sent to war with these little, like, basically cameras stuck into their eyes so the people back at home can watch the wars go on and stuff like that. This world where the war happens, it turns out that things from your imagination can kind of become reality there. That's how you get the Six Gun Gorilla. And then you find out that there's these other types of people that are there that, like, there's this assassin kind of guy, and he is nothing more than an imagination part there as well. It's just so fucking well done in here. I mean, like, I actually got really attached to this character who was going through, fighting through, that he went in just to die so that, like, you know, this woman that he used to love could have the money when he was done. That you get sucked into this world. The art alone by Jeff Stokely is just so unique that I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, you can see a lot of different influences from other sources, but every little influence he has, he completely melds and makes his own. I don't really even know what to say other than the fact that if you like stories, if you like things about imagination, if you like all of the things that as fanboys that we love, that living in that mystical realm of could happen maybe sometime, this is a book you absolutely have to read. So
cool.
I wish I could say more about it, but I don't want to spoil it.
I can't wait for you to get the hardcover so I can read it.
It's not going to be the hard cut. Yeah, it'll be trade, but yeah, definitely pick this up. And if you can track them down, go get the single issues and don't wait for the trade. It's worth it.
All right. Well, that wraps up Off the Shelf.
Yeah, it does.
And before getting into some news, I just want to kind of bring back something that I haven't done in a while, which is sharing links to other websites, other things that are stuff that our listeners should check out.
Interwebs?
Yes, okay. Whatever we call this segment.
It was the interwebs.
Okay. And this goes...
Tony's so cool, he forgot what he called it.
Well, this actually goes back to, one of my coaches, BJ, who... We were just talking about podcasts, this and that, and we were talking about wrestling, and it made me remember one of the most hilarious sites that I've ever seen, called LonelyVirgil.net, Lonely, V-I-R-G-I-L.net. It is a blog that Virgil, being a wrestler that we've seen multiple times at conventions, because yep. That's what he does. He is trying to grasp onto those last 15 minutes of fame, and he's falling hard. And he's at all these different convention shows, kind of just sitting there. No one really wants to go talk to Virgil. And he's really, like, trying to go with this whole, you know, was being with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and all that. So this whole website is just pictures that people take of him sitting by himself at his table at all the conventions. It's actually quite sad, but funny. So definitely just check it out and read the captions from what people said, you know, when they took the picture of what was going on.
And then go talk to him if you see him at a convention.
And, well, go talk to him if you have half an hour as a minimum. Because if you do start talking to him, in my experience, this was back in our volunteer days. I helped take him over to where his table was. You know, it's a fairly decent walk, and he's very nice. Don't get me wrong. Very, very nice man. He starts talking. And you can't get away. Like, you can't get away. He just keeps talking, and I don't even know what he was saying, what he was talking about. It was just like, I'm like, I have work to do.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that is kind of sad. I know our, at least one person that will really appreciate that, Jason Westlake, the guy that did our cover art for our website, and it's also on our Facebook and Twitter page. He actually has a great Virgil story that you should ask him.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I will have to do that. But yep. I just thought I would share that with our listeners. Check it out. You'll get a chuckle, then you also kind of feel sad, and maybe you might want to go talk to him next time if you have that half hour.
Yeah. News. We got lots this week, so let's burn through
Newsies.
Some.
Newsies.
I think one of the biggest things that came out this week is that they cast Wonder Woman in the new Batman versus Superman movies.
Wait a second.
Yeah, I thought it was Batman and Superman.
Well, that was a boy date, huh? How come we're letting girls in?
Okay, first off...
No, that's okay with me, I mean.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with Wonder Woman jumping in, but like, it seems like they are taking from what was going to be a great Batman-Superman movie... And now trying to really turn it into an Avengers movie or Justice League movie. Yeah. They're really trying to cram as many people in this thing as possible.
You're acting like this is a new concept to cram as many people in as possible because that's what every freaking superhero movie's been doing. Nah. It's always...
They've had a lot more standalones, and what is DC put out standalone movies? You can't.
Batman
you can't run
the new Superman.
Yeah, you can't Green run Lantern. Your entire.
What the? No, that movie doesn't exist.
Catwoman.
Now you're just getting worse.
You know what those are? Uncool.
Oh damn it! We totally should have had Ben McCool on the show today.
No, I agree. Like throwing Wonder Woman in there seems a little like you're calling it Batman Superman.
Now call it Trinity or...
Yeah, call it Trinity or something else. I mean, I guess maybe she's only got a small part, you know? Like, it's just a cameo. But if she's a major character, then it's not no longer a Batman-Superman movie.
The thing that I found funny is that the link that I sent you guys from the LA Times was how exactly this. People are just all pissed about this or happy about that. Like the Twitterverse was all over the place.
I'm gonna say she's fucking hot.
Yeah,
but what's she does.
It's either
Gal Gadot.
Yeah,
Gadot.
I'm not sure.
Waiting for Gadot.
She's.
But she doesn't look like an Amazonian.
No, she actually.
She looks way too skinny.
Arguably, the Wonder Woman didn't look like an Amazonian. She was kind of petite. and she had super strength and stuff. But when you think of Amazonian women, you think of bare knuckle boxers. Death by snoo snoo. I mean,
wow, I haven't heard that reference in a long time.
But you know, but that's fine too because it is a comic book character. So,
well, another comic book, yeah. So I don't know. We'll see where that goes. It could just be the small part. Another big part.
I do want to say I'm just happy that she at least is going to appear on the big screen.
Yeah,
and well, hopefully they do it well.
But see, this is one of the troubles. And in all honesty, this is why you have so many more male superheroes, and particularly when they're making movies these days, is that there's a delicate line that you have to walk between making a feminine character and a heroic female character who isn't just a man with boobs, because a lot of female superheroes turn into, you know, just macho ass kickers when there's something else that female characters get to bring to a role. This is why, like, Carol Danvers being Captain America, such an important hero, because she is a woman. And so I know that it is, particularly in Hollywood, they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. If they don't put the female characters in there, they're like, oh, you're just being sexist because all you got is guys. And then if you put them in there, you're like, oh, I didn't like that interpretation.
Now you're being sexist.
Yeah, there's going to be no one. Particularly Wonder Woman, she was created by a psychologist having a whole bunch of fetishes.
Yeah.
And, like, she really kind of, her origins are really rooted in some real kind of bad sexist, you know.
Yep.
Thoughts.
Tie me up and
tie me up and I lose all my powers. So it's Wonder Woman is an interesting character. So I hope, however they do it and whoever they get to cast it, that she's a strong female character and that she comes out to be her own. Which is another reason why I don't think having her as just a side character in the Batman Superman is cool, because she really deserves her own opportunity to shine, to do her own thing.
Maybe she'll just show up like Nick Fury at the end of Iron Man.
There you go.
Be like, want to join my team?
Yeah.
So something that I'm looking forward to is movies and throwing a lot of shit in there. Bryan Singer announces on Twitter, just hashtag X-Men, hashtag Apocalypse 2016. That's it. And that cryptic message has made many fanboys go, holy shit, if that's what they're building towards, that's going to be cool. I know that it was brought to light, who was it by? Was it the Illuminati that
they mentioned something to us here a couple weeks
ago. Yeah, and we looked into it, and I said I was going to be doing some research to find out, because I talked about all the cryptic, you know, mummy Tut, like, Egyptian-type shit.
Yeah, in the tomb-like appearance of the future in the previews for
Days. Yeah, and if Apocalypse is going to be in the movie or somehow tied to it. I did a lot of research, as in none, but I found the answer, and yes, Apocalypse is going to somehow be tied to the X-Men. So, looking forward to that.
That's cool. I got to say, real looking forward to the new X-Men movie. Like we talked about, the way that they're advertising is cool. Another new preview that is out is Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
That preview makes that movie look balls epic. It is cooler than Tony. From the looks of it.
Yeah, they...
I'll agree, it's cooler than me. Not much is, but...
Sony released the official trailer here midweek, I think, this week. So, yeah, go find it on the YouTubes and watch it for yourself. Jumping back, more movie news. Back to the Batman Superman. Metallo is rumored to be the villain.
Metallo.
The Breakfast of Magneto, which leads me to Magneto is actually getting his own comic in March.
Okay.
I don't know
why they have Professor X on the cover of this, though. Like, it just looks weird.
Well, that cover, actually...
It is a pretty badass cover, but yeah, I'm just saying, because he's bald now.
He shaved his head now.
But yeah, it's Magneto creating barbed wire in the shape of his helmet, you know, around his face, which is pretty sweet. Yeah. I guess it's going to tie into more, like, the movies. It's going to be kind of backstory, stuff like that, so.
So he's going to be a bad guy again. Great.
Is he?
Well, if he's going to tie into the movies, then he's...
He's not a bad guy in the movies.
He was at the end of the last one.
It's ambiguous, man.
It's all perspective, man.
Yeah. Well, you could argue that Magneto's never been a villain. He's only... you know, done what he had to get his people to survive. He's a hero to some.
But yet he called himself the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah.
That's the sort of shit that I don't know. Just quick tie into another
book. The old comics had that, like, morality, like, slapping you in the face. And nowadays it's kind of like, well, you got these anti-heroes like the Punisher and stuff who doesn't go around saying he's evil, but arguably the Punisher's a pretty evil dude.
Reading DC Universe versus Masters of the Universe this week, Evil Lynn. And they said it to her 5 times. Evil Lynn, why are you doing this? Stop, Evil Lynn. Is that her full name? Or like, like, I just didn't get it.
Her last name is Bad Guy.
Oh. Wow, I'm just looking through. There's so much freaking movie news this week. Quickly on this one, apparently DC is rumored again that David Goyer, I'm not familiar who he is, but this was from firstshowing.net, that David Goyer is working on treatments for other DC titles as potential things. And more of the kind of lower-tiered titles, if you will. Suicide Squad, Booster Gold, Team 7, and Deathstroke are all looking. Now, some or none or all of these may or may not be produced.
Booster Gold.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite side heroes because he's always about his own reputation. So he plays off of, like, he plays a real funny man to, like, Batman being the straight man.
Yeah.
And stuff. So I have a special place for Booster Gold.
Well, and his little robot sidekick,
yeah.
Skeets.
Yeah.
I just want Skeet Ulrich to play Skeets, just because.
In the show Batman the Brave and the Bold, the voice of Skeet was, what's his name, in Scrubs, the main doctor character in Scrubs.
I never watched Scrubs.
Oh, it was awesome, though. It was hilarious.
The one thing that is thought-provoking to me, if they make Team 7, could that open up the door to a Gen
13? Team 8?
No, to a Gen 13 movie.
They're just going to skip from 7 to 13?
Yeah. Well, that's going to be how many villains are going to be in the new X-Force movie.
13 villains?
Yeah, why not?
All right. So, X-Force movie, though. Wait, what's this?
Yeah. Rob Liefeld said that the script is beyond impressive, according to comicbook.com.
Well, I mean, to him, probably, he's just imagining them, like, having, like, first-person's perspective or any perspective from the ankles up.
Yeah, like, well, and the question is, like, I would love to see just shots in this movie of, like, the feet running.
Yeah. You know? Cable being massively huge to, like, Domino being the size of a, you know, China doll.
Or the bad guy is the feet collector.
Oh!
It's the Foot Clan!
Yeah!
It's a tie-in with Ninja Turtles!
Yeah, and you know where they put the feet? In a whole bunch of pouches.
If he ever draws Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all he has is the turtles fighting air because he doesn't know how to draw the Foot Clan.
God, that'd be awesome if, like, Cable puts on a fanny pack. Puts on a travel pack.
Free stuff. You guys like free shit?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's free with a purchase. You know how you get your digital...
It's not free.
Free with a purchase. Actually, Tony, you're the kind of sucker that falls for that, because you talked about those damn Transformers that came with free comic books.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It wasn't free, but you called it free. With Marvel, with your digital codes, on a bunch of their books now, like Avengers, Savage Wolverine, All New X-Men, Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America, Thor, Nova, Iron Man, Uncanny X-Men, Uncanny Avengers. With those books, when you redeem your digital code, you're now getting, like, the first, say, like, 6 issues of that series digitally, which is a nice bonus and kind of gives people a reason to maybe try a title that they haven't, so that Marvel doesn't have to start it all back over at number one so they can get new readers.
Okay.
So, Tony, you like number ones.
Yeah, they're good jumping on points, but, eh.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's not to love about a number one?
What I hate about number ones is that it's cash coming into stories that people should be reading anyways. However, it's great when they do that so that they continue the stories. Like when I was pissed that they were canceling Wolverine and the X-Men, but they're going to relaunch it again as a number one.
Of course.
And even though I haven't honestly picked up it in a while either, so I can't really be bitching, I've always liked the concept of the kids being... That's why I liked FF for a while, because it was focusing on the kids that Reed Richards and them kidnapped and have at their school.
Yes, kidnapped.
So that's coming out along with a bunch of other number ones, which...
Number one.
The Marvel. It's all new Marvel now.
Yeah, instead of just Marvel Now, it's all new Marvel Now.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's gonna be their marketing sometimes really makes me go, huh? last thing I had for the big collectors out there, and I'm talking like high-end collectors, there is a gentleman by the name of Dr. Steve Landman, who is a dentist in the Chicago area. Unfortunately, he has some disease that I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce and say what it is, but it's a rare autoimmune disease that attacks his nervous system. It's incurable, and he's quickly going down. He is selling off his comic collection to raise money for his medical expenses, but also for research and awareness of this disease. You can actually check it out at comicconnect.com. The sale's going on through the 13th of December. But he has, when he was a kid, he started buying comics, putting them in plastic bags, and using the shirt cardboards that he got from his dad's dry cleaning business.
That's pretty cool.
To store them. So they're saying that these are some of the highest grade copies of these issues known to exist. We're talking Fantastic Four number one, Incredible Hulk number one, Spider-Man number one. He's got the first two appearances of Ant-Man. A lot of really, really cool stuff on there.
Wait, how can he have two first appearances?
The first two appearances
of Ant-Man. Oh, so he appeared once then. Okay.
Well, yeah. And then other people appeared as Ant-Man later on, too, so you could count it that way. But I think he means in successive.
Yes, or, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so go check it out, and I mean, it's going to be well out of my price range, but I'm hoping somebody out there maybe gets into the auction, and
yeah,
you know, this is a great reason to sell comics. So that's all I had.
I guess the last two small little quick things is Marvel, Disney, owners of everything now, just gained the rights to all future Indiana Jones movies, so maybe we might see little crossover with Indy and Captain America fighting the Nazis. Who knows?
And Star Wars.
Yeah, and fighting Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And Mickey Mouse.
With the Infinity Gauntlet.
I thought the Crystal Skull was just supposed to be...
One of the Infinity Stones? Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure that's Darth Vader's skull.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was long ago that they lived.
In the galaxy far, far away. And then I guess the last thing, which we can kind of just briefly mention, but Stan Lee Media is taking another stab at trying to take the characters back from Marvel. And this is a story that just will not die. And
just like comic book heroes.
And this needs to be said, though. This company hasn't had any connection to Stan Lee for some time, but it's still named after him.
It's 1998, yeah.
Yeah, so it's... It's not Stan Lee that's doing this. Stan Lee's just fine doing cameos and whatever else he's doing now.
He's an he gets his name as executive producer for almost all the films that come out, which means he's put in money to them to be executive producer, which means he's getting a ton of that money back from the movies. So.
And he's just having fun being Iron Man and living for forever.
Yeah.
But they're still going at it. They still think that they somehow own the rights to those
Disney characters. Owns the rights to every character.
When you're bankrupt, you have nothing to lose.
That's true.
I guess so, but when you're bankrupt, how do you keep fighting to win?
Because you get a lawyer that, you know...
Takes the case because he wants a cut in it if he does win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
If we win, I get half.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I would... To be honest, because I like chaos a little every now and then, I would love to all of a sudden see them get those rights and everyone be like, whoa.
Yeah, but then all the movies that they had planned would be on total...
Yeah, fuck that. Never mind.
I think all they're waiting for is a settlement.
Yeah.
Oh, give us a settlement.
But. Yeah. All right. Tony, where should we go?
Does anyone have anything for Indy?
I sure do.
Okay.
Going for a drive.
Yeah. Actually, this week was almost, this was a very, very heavy Indy week for me. But this week, I have Dead World Restoration. Number one, the new miniseries from IDW, written by Gary Reed and drawn by Sammy Mackinnon. I'm going to be brief on this because I know we're running long here today. But this picks up after Dead World War of the Dead, which I talked about here roughly a year ago. Maybe just a little bit more. But this is... I want you guys to look at this.
All right. Hold on. I like the art in this, and I almost picked it up, but I didn't know if it was a reprint or if it was a new ongoing series.
Yeah, it's a new ongoing series. And pass that over to Matt, because the art is the one thing that I really want to talk about in this. I mean, before I get to that, though, Gary Reed did another, like, just knock it out of the park job on the writing of this story. Even if you don't know what's gone on before, it's going to be a little confusing, but they fill enough shit in, and he does a great job at, like, slowly sinking the hooks into you to where by the time the issue ends, you're like, wait, I need to know more. Like, I mean, it is beautifully done in that aspect. The art in this thing just blows me away. I mean, Mackinnon, it's disturbing the images that he can put down on paper that just go right into your head and just sink there. You mix that with Reed's writing, it's another just solid, solid book. I'm looking forward to reading this whole series again. I don't remember, in all honesty, if it's a 5-issue miniseries, so I apologize for not knowing that off the top of my head, but yeah, check it out. One interesting thing in here, because there are a few zombies that can talk in this one.
Like, okay.
Talk
as in just, like, brains, or talk as in, like, communicate, like, know what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, intelligent undead.
Yeah, like they're cool like us. Talk.
Okay.
But the...
they're very cool because they don't have a circulatory system anymore because they're dead.
Yeah, and here's the fucked up part. Some of these zombies, these talking zombies, can transfer bodies. So if you quote-unquote kill them, they can hop into another body with their consciousness.
So they're more like wraiths than...
More like psychic...
Psychic demons. Zombies?
Psychic ghosts.
Why couldn't they jump in a living body then?
Because they're not Dr. Octopus. I don't know. But it's really, really cool. And the one little catch that Reed put in here was when the Zombie King, or King Zombie, I'm drinking too much already, which one ever it is, but he's like, a guy shoots him in the head, and he jumps by, he's like, that's stupid. He's like, there's only one thing in this world that can kill me. And of course, he doesn't say what. Yeah. You're like, oh, damn you, Reed, putting your hooks in me again.
Why don't you tell me, Zombie King? What's that one thing?
Well, wait. Read the next issue. Yeah, it's a great one. Pick it up for the writing. Pick it up for the art. Either one. You're going to be super happy you put them together. Two mugs up on this for sure. Massive, massive, fun, crazy book. Not for kids, though. Wanted to put
the that title up. Alone should probably say not for kids, but just in case you need that extra.
Well, you'd think our title would kind of insinuate that we're not for kids, but...
Kids get drunk all the time.
I don't know if that's what Derek was implying, but...
Oh, I'd say, isn't that what you give them, like, Robitussin before you go to bed?
Is that what you're doing to Milo nowadays?
No. Heck no. We just rock with him all night long.
I had my first beer at, like,
all night
4.
Long.
I remember
you have to be careful what you say these days, because if I said anything like I was... Milo was getting hurt or anything, one of our listeners could call Child Protective Services on me and they'd be all over it. So,
actually,
you can't joke about that. So your parents could get called on for giving you beer when you were... You
know, it wasn't... wasn't necessarily them. Well, no, there is a picture of Dad giving me beer.
There's some hypersensitive people out there. But on the other hand, it's funny to say. I was going to say kids get drunk off chocolate milk, but
I'm going to get chocolate wasted.
Well, speaking of booze, I got booze in the book this week.
Yay.
And a little bit different in how I'm going to set this up, because instead of an actual booze, it's more about a peripheral.
Paraphernalia?
What are you looking
for? Peripheral?
I don't know. It's whatever. It's fucking beer bong. Fuck you guys. So whatever that would be.
What are you trying to say?
Paraphernalia?
Kind of.
Like drinking paraphernalia? Like
yes, things yeah, drinking paraphernalia. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you. He's so cool.
Nerd.
Fuck you. Anyways, this goes, and anyone can make a beer bong, but can you make a two-story beer bong where you go and get a long ass hose, get the funnel, get a stopper at the bottom?
Actually, yes, anyone could do that.
Exactly. And what they need to do is make that while reading Long Shot Saves the Marvel Universe number 3. Because then all you have to do is put a little bit of your favorite Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, and you now have a long shot to take.
Yay.
Get it?
That
was awful.
That actually reminds me. There was a product that I saw online a while back that is, it really is a beer bong. But they sell it like it's a special thing.
Yeah.
The cool part was that basically you pour your shot in, and then you pour the chaser. And they won't mix, basically. So that's kind
of... Oh, that's...
Well, because
yeah.
When it's long enough,
okay,
you know, there's going to be a little bit of mixing there at the end, but
yeah.
Then you just go, shot, and the chaser immediately.
They have different densities, too, so...
Yeah. See, my mom always gets me a random shot game or beer game or something, like chess that has shot glasses or checkers that has a little glass. So I wonder what she's going to get me next, because those are always fun.
Oh, I have some ideas for her. There was a Nintendo Wii game. It was an off-brand. It wasn't a Nintendo one. But they had a cup ball.
It was a Wii game, but
it was a Wii game, but it wasn't produced by Nintendo with, like, the normal, like, Wii Sports and stuff. But they're, like, party games. And one of them was, like, cup ball or ball cup or something. And I'm like, beer pong? No, it's cup ball because we can't call it beer pong with...
Speaking of balls. I did want to bring to the attention Burn the Orphanage, number 2 of 3, okay. Came out from our good friend Cena Grace and Daniel Friedman. And there's a little scene in here where our main hero is fighting this goat-headed luchador.
Okay.
And he's about to get, you know, the spinning pile driver. And in order to beat him, he bites his penis off.
Oh.
So, I just thought you guys might like to see him spitting out penis.
I did not want to see that.
No, thanks.
That is definitely not cool.
How does this have to do with Long Shot saving the Marvel Universe?
It doesn't. Well, it was a long shot that he could pull that off.
Yeah. This
was the other book that I was itching to talk about for Indie Turnpike. Because this one was just fun. I couldn't really decide which one I wanted this week, so I'm just going to hijack, I guess, here for a second and say you should go find issue 1 if you didn't read it, but number 2, go pick up number 2.
Well, if we're going to just start kind of talking about some things, I'm going to quick talk about a small segment, actually 2 panels within Long Shot number 3. Going back on topic, because you guys know that he does have a psychometry or whatever the fuck metry it is, where pretty much he can touch an object and know its history.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Spider-Man's webbing touches him, and he all of a sudden can see part of what's going on, and there's the Avengers with JJ saying, you know, he's clearly not Spider-Man, that is Doc Ock. You know, and then they're asking Longshot what he's doing there, and he's saying, you know, wait, he's doing more good alive than dead. And my friend agrees, as in, I'm taking that Doc Ock's doing good, alive and dead, and his friend Spider-Man agrees, meaning Spider-Man's somewhere else because he's holding the cosmic cube and he's not in there. So I'm just saying that.
You're
you're stretching here.
You are grasping at straws on that $20 bet.
I say, Christopher Hastings also writes an online comic, The Adventures of Dr. McNinja, which has been one of my favorite online comics. It's kind of random, kind of kooky at times, but he always makes sense of it and he incorporates all the characters. So when I heard he was writing this long shot miniseries, I thought, good for him, because I think he'll do a really good job of bringing the humor there. And thus far, just from the covers, I can't wait to borrow them from Tony.
Dude, I had so many books this week that I just want to talk about them all. We just don't have enough time. But we can talk about them a little bit in Last Call. What do you guys got?
Last Call.
All right. Amazing Spider-Man 700.1. Peter Parker story for those of you that are angry that it's just...
That he's dead? Angry that he's dead?
Wait. Angry that he is trapped in the mind of Otto Octavius, and it's just a Peter Parker story.
Okay.
Is all. I'm not going to get into any more than that.
So, Superior Spider-Man came out this week.
Yeah,
I liked it. You didn't like it.
I had issues with the issue.
I am only partway through it, but it's really bugging me that people don't seem to put two and two together that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Like, I hate how he got his secret identity back in One Last Day, and I hate that people are still just like, you know, they don't get it. So,
DC Universe versus Masters of the Universe.
Spoil it.
I so want to, but I was just gonna.
Orko's the bad guy. I did it.
Yeah, it was actually pretty revealing, and I did not see that coming.
Which I don't understand, because when I read the first, like, series
that DC put out,
yeah, at the end when Skeletor basically gets sent to hell or wherever it was, I told you guys they mentioned Orko.
But I'm not thinking it's going to happen in here, or that this, how much continuity this is continuing, because obviously if he reveals himself here or not in the main story, then this obviously has to follow suit of being part of the main story.
Well, maybe they figure more people will pick this one up than the main story.
Gotcha.
So they, you know, kind of throw something in there. The Star Wars, number four. The
Star Wars.
The Lucas adaptation. The more I read this, the more I'm happy they made Star Wars how they did.
Okay. That says a lot.
How much is that true, though, that is what the original script was? Like, is that 100% true, or that's just they're making that up as for narrative?
No, it is based on the original rough draft screenplay that Lucas did.
Luke Starkiller or something like that?
Yeah.
Because I can believe some of that, but there's other stuff that I'm like, well, that just doesn't make sense galaxy far along the way.
Fun trivia, and our friends over at An Elegant Weapon would probably know this. Return of the Jedi... One of the reasons why it wasn't as good as it should have been...
Because it was called Revenge of the Jedi?
Well, no, it was because Lucas couldn't use the Directors Guild. He'd gotten in trouble with the Directors Guild of America. And Steven Spielberg was originally going to direct Return of the Jedi. But he couldn't because he was part of the Directors Guild. And Lucas basically gave them the finger because he didn't want to pay a $250,000 fine to the Directors Guild for... Not for the way he did his opening credits. And so because they were fining him, he gave them the finger, which nowadays, like, this is a drop in the bucket for how much money you made off those movies.
Which is funny that he was pissed about that, because if this is true, and I believe it is, that he and Spielberg, did you guys ever hear about the bet that he and Spielberg made?
Uh-uh.
When he was doing Star Wars, Spielberg was doing Close Encounters.
Okay.
And apparently... Lucas thought that Star Wars was going to be the biggest flop ever, so he and Spielberg made a bet that whoever's movie did better, that they had to give them, like, X percent royalty forever.
Okay.
On it, like, whether it's 2% or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I guess, from what I heard, that every month, frickin' Lucas still is sending money to Spielberg for nice. Star Wars.
Well, like I said, so they're saying, because if you think about, like, the big plot holes in the Ewoks, they're like, Spielberg would have never put Ewoks in there.
I don't know. He made Phantom Menace. So he probably would have put Ewoks in there.
That's true. Phantom Menace was pretty awful.
Oh, yeah.
But getting back to books I read this week, Phantom X Max,
Are you enjoying that still?
Phantom Max?
Anything with him, yeah, that's what they should have called it. That would have been punny. Anything with Phantom X, I love him. He's the best masked, not the best, because Deadpool's the best. I can't think if there's anything else. So he's second best.
Wolverine is the best at what he does.
What he does is run a school. He's on the Avengers. He's a kindergarten instructor. He's a yoga teacher.
he drinks with Dupe.
Yeah.
All right. You don't have to tell me if you don't want to, or if you don't want to spoil it for people. Is Phantom X Max? Is it Phantom X by himself, or is it all three parts of him?
There's parts of him.
Like, I mean, like the individual, like he split into three bodies thing. Okay. God is Dead, number four.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Number four of what was going to be four of six, it's now four of ongoing.
Yay. I do like that.
Trillium, number five, and I think this is of 10. Let's see.
I was kind of upset. Just in the, I mean, it's following the story arc of Guardians of the Galaxy, but Guardians of the Galaxy and it's tying to Infinity, yet Infinity ended last week, so this is kind of now telling their story up in Sword. However, they did blow up Sword, so that was kind of cool.
But they destroyed Sword, they destroyed the peak, though, in Uncanny Avengers, like months ago.
Yeah. So they're not
Continuity police are upset with that one.
Continuity, please.
I got Cataclysm, The Ultimate's Last Stand, number two. Decent, and they're bringing... you know how Spider-Man did a crossover event in the Ultimate's universe? In order to save their universe, they've got to come over to the 616 universe, since that's where Galactus is from.
Absolution, Happy Kitty, number one. I talked about Absolution Rubicon here a while back. Cute little girl that kills shit.
Oh, kids these days.
Yeah. And then my last one, which... I'm also going to say cover of the week.
Okay.
Best on tap for my vote. Is Daredevil Dark Knights, the Amanda Connor. I love the silhouette going on with, you know, the guy playing the horn in the back. And I just... Yeah, I just love... Amanda Connor's artwork. So, and I don't know. It's just nice to see.
Yeah, is that Misty Knight?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And she and Daredevil.
Pretty badass team.
Yeah.
All right. Iron Man number 19. This is getting into something that's going to be fucking amazing. The Mandarin has been not seen in a while. In fact, probably dead. But he's still got 10 rings. And they're these now ring bearers. They're like the Captain Planets of destruction.
I was going to say, or ring wraiths?
No,
Captain, wait, what did you say?
The Captain Planets of destruction.
They were the Planeteers are the ones that had the rings.
Well, regardless, there's a giant rock one, and they're all called like Mandarin 1 or Mandarin 7 or whatever. So there's 10 of them that are going to form up to be an evil group against Tony Stark.
With our powers combined, we can form...
The Mandarin.
The orange. Mandarin oranges.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow.
I love Mandarin oranges. They're so delicious. All right, that's... I'm glad that's going... Do they bring in his brother at all in this one?
Yes, he's still helping build the city. And
is Greg Land still drawing Iron Man?
Let me check.
Nope. No, looks like Bennett.
Yeah, Joe Bennett.
Yeah, I was just curious because I knew that he was on that for a while.
I picked up the Avengers annual. And, you know, some annuals, they actually tie into the storylines. This one doesn't. But it is...
Some comics are really good, some aren't.
No, but what I will say about this one is if you do have younger kids that are, you know, reading the comics or know about it and stuff, this would be a kid-appropriate one. It's a Christmas story. There's this girl, she hears voices.
I hate holiday stories in comics.
Yeah, they can get lame, but this one's all right. So pick it up if you've got younger readers. It's an appropriate book for younger readers. I know some of our listeners do have, you know, smaller children. So
the only holiday one that I've ever thought was appropriate was way early X-Men. I want to say around the 130s, 140s, in that range, when Kitty Pryde was at the X-Men mansion by herself and fought off this monster. And she was there by herself because everyone went home for Christmas, and she's Jewish, which that made sense why she was there by herself. But it wasn't a Christmas story. They just tied it in.
This is kind of the same idea that most of the Avengers are leaving because it's Christmas. They got other things to do. Which is really nice to see Captain America, and he goes and volunteers at a like soup kitchen. And he talks to an old VA who's kind of like real depressed and pissed off because most of the people in his platoon are dead, the guys that he went to war with. And so Captain America has a nice conversation with him, and when he's done, he's like, you know, hey, you know, I know it doesn't mean a lot to you and stuff, but, you know, just register with your local VA. They are there to help you. And the guy's like, I'll think about it. So there was actually some nice touching moments in it. But like I said, overall, it's a decent story with a younger audience in mind, especially considering all the violence that has been in Avengers recently. That, you know, some parents might go, you want to read it, but you're not old enough yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly talking to Chris here. Yeah. His boy could probably read this one.
Oh. I'm like, I was thinking Chris the bartender, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, no, wait. We're talking to our buddy Chris from across the state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, man. Happy holidays.
Yeah. And, and hopefully when your kid grows up, he'll learn that Aquaman is still not the best hero out there, but it's his favorite.
Hey, Aquaman graduated from cool college.
No, well, it was cool school because it was a cool school of fish.
Yeah, and everything's better down where it's wetter under the sea. So it's just perspective there, man.
Hakuna Matata. Wait, I don't.
Thought we were doing this thing.
I don't know. I don't even know what's going on.
All right, I need another beer.
Yeah, me too. Tony, you ready for some beers?
Yeah.
Tony doesn't feel that cool anymore.
I wanted to throw in a Disney reference, but I can't think of one.
You want
to? I'm sure it'll come to you. Bippity boppity boo.
Would you like to drink your beer out of a glass slipper?
You guys keep using all of them that I'm thinking of.
Well, I know what'll make you happy. How about 101 little Dalmatian puppies?
Oh, that would actually be kind of cute to play with.
Yeah.
In all the poop.
Oh, God.
All right, fuck you guys. Let's go. All right, everyone, keep reading those comics, and we'll be back to you again next week.
I got poop.